Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, Birmingham, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm Rick Hughes, your host. For the next 30 minutes, please stay tuned because it actually could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. Our show, The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and we always do it without any sort of manipulation. That simply means we don't play games, we have no gimmicks, we have nothing to sell you, nothing for you to join, no hidden agendas. It's simply a show about truth. This is the only show on the radio where it's the message and not the man that's important. The message is the message of Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God. And the truth that we will talk to you about is the truth of Bible doctrine or the Word of God or the written words of Christ as recorded in the Bible. We're not fanatics. We're not weirdos. We're not, people have so fragmented our society today that if you talk about the Bible, they call you a right-wing fundy. Well, I am not a right-wing fundy, but I am fundamental. And I am strictly living and trying to teach you the truth in this radio show. Now, you have enough sense to know if it's a gimmick. You have enough sense to know if it's a lie. You can tell when someone has got some kind of agenda. If you listen to this show, and you listen very long, if you've never listened before, you may be quite amazed at what you're going to hear because it is the truth of the Word of God. Some people tell me sometimes, you didn't tell me anything that I didn't know already, but you put it in a way that I've never heard it put before. The reason that I'm able to organize it like this is because the Word of God makes sense. There is a plan. There's a system. And if you learn it and understand it and apply it into your life, then you can guarantee that the outside pressure of adversity will not be converted to the inside pressure of stress in your life. That's why we call our show The Flatline. That's a military acronym, and it stands for the forward line of troops. Usually what happens when the military is involved in a war, they deploy out ahead of the army or the command post a forward line of troops to keep the enemy from probing and getting in. Well, we want to deploy the Word of God in the forward compartments of your soul so that you can keep the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress in your life. And so by teaching you these concepts, I'm fulfilling my job, and that's explaining it, bringing it to you clearly, logically, so you can see it and understand it. And your job is to decide whether or not you want to listen, and then secondly, do you want to believe it? And if you believe it, will you apply it into your life? I can't change you. I can't change anybody. I have a hard enough time keeping up with myself, but I can tell you what it says. And if you have a desire, if you have a hunger inside your soul to want to understand God's plan and purpose for your life, you've tuned into the right show. I hope you will keep listening because this is not a show where we run topical messages. This is a show that's a series, and sometimes I may go 5, 6, 7 shows on the same subject. And in the last few weeks, we have been dealing with the difference between spirituality and maturity. And I've tried to explain to the listening audience that any Christian can be a spiritual Christian if he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we've studied the problem-solving devices, problem-solving device number one tells us how we solve the problem of sin. Again, we all have a sin-infused human nature. And when we sin, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we'll confess our sin, then God is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all wrongdoing. This is how the believer stays filled with the Spirit. He will sin, and that's like a football player getting knocked down. The question is, will he get up? Will he confess his sin? Will he keep moving forward? Will he resume his spiritual life? So when people sin, they break fellowship with God, they quench the Holy Spirit and grieve the Holy Spirit, and when they confess their sin, or problem-solving device number one, rebound, we call it, then they resume their spiritual life. Spirituality is absolute. The great evangelist Billy Graham could not be any more spiritual than you. If he's filled with the Spirit and you're filled with the Spirit, well, you're both spiritual Christians. But the other term is maturity, and that's a totally different ballgame. Spirituality is absolute. Maturity is relative. The difference between a mature believer is what believer has the Word of God in his soul and operates on it, and what believer doesn't have the Word of God, doesn't operate on it. So some of the questions that we've been talking about is, what's the difference, for example, between maturity and morality? Is maturity morality? And the answer for that is obviously no. No, not at all. You can be a very moral person and not even be a Christian. So, but the other side of the coin is, a mature believer will be a moral believer. He's not going to get into the lust of the flesh consistently. Certainly he can sin like anyone can sin at any time. But he's not going to get trapped in perpetual carnality like this. So can I be a mature believer and be carnal at the same time? The question there says, can a mature believer sin? And the answer is yes, he can. Look at David. He did it. He was a mature believer. He was the king of Israel. Did he sin? Yes, he did. So mature believers can sin, but they will recover from their sin. One of the key passages we looked at last week on the show was Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. And there, in that passage, the writer of Hebrews said, you've been a Christian a long time now, and you ought to be teaching others, but instead, you need to go back and let someone teach you all over again the basic principles of the Word of God, because you're dull of hearing. And this simply means that your perceptive senses are not sharp. You're dull. When you go to church or when you listen to a show like this, you can't concentrate, you can't pay attention. Your mind wanders and drifts, and you're not able to comprehend what's being taught. You're dull of hearing. Part of the reason is because you don't have any hunger. You don't have any desire. You're satisfied. You're in your corner of where you are comfortable. You're in the comfortable corner, we might say, and you're satisfied. So you don't really see any need to learn these things. Your life is fine the way it is, right? Well, maybe not. The Bible says in verse 12 of Hebrews 5, you ought to be teaching others, but instead you got to have somebody teach you the very basic principles all over again. And it says you're unskilled in the Word of God. You have to have this skill. See, a lot of Christians, as I told you last week, they know all the sports teams, they know all the sports scores. They can talk to you about what's wrong with the University of Alabama and what's right with the University of Auburn, or what's wrong over at Mississippi State, or what's right over at Ole Miss. They can give you all the stats, all the coaches, all the procedures, but they couldn't find 1 John 1:9 in the Bible if they had to. And Lord help them if you told them to turn to Hezekiah 5:18. By the way, there is no Hezekiah. So, what do you do? These individuals are believers in Jesus Christ, but they never take time to really learn the protocol plan of God. And so that's what we want to talk about on our show today. What is maturity? What does it mean to be a mature believer? And that's what we've been talking about. If you're ever going to be a mature believer, you got to learn the plan of God. You got to learn the protocol plan of God. You got to learn the procedure and how the plan works and how the plan functions and exactly what it is. I mean, if you don't know it, how can God put you in the game? How can God use you? I mean, you may be on the team, you may have a uniform, you're a Christian, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, but you're never going to get in the game because you don't know what to do. God can't trust you. And it's for sure, if God can't trust you now in time, that once the millennial reign of Jesus Christ gets here, he's not going to be able to trust you to rule and reign with Christ in those times either. Certainly you'll be here, and certainly you'll be in a resurrection body, but you will not be ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ, because you would have blown that opportunity. Because while you were alive and while you were in the time continuum that we live in today, you never took the time to even understand and learn what God expects out of you. And if you want to be the mature believer that we're talking about, you must understand this. The mature believer is defined as a member of the royal family of God who executes God's protocol plan. He executes it. I have a little cliche that I use a lot that says, winners execute and losers emote. If you're going to be a winner for God, if you're going to be a mature believer, you have to learn how to execute the protocol plan of God. Now, you don't start out as a mature believer. You start out as a baby believer, and you come to a point called spiritual self-esteem in your life. That's a baby believer. This is where you begin to perceive who you are, what you are, and what God's plan is for your life. And as you continue to grow, in spite of failing from time to time and messing up and getting knocked on your fanny, you get up, you rebound, you confess your sin, You keep moving, you hit spiritual autonomy. And we'll talk about that some in our show today. And then you hit spiritual maturity. This is where you're able to give maximum glorification to God as a result of your decision and your lifestyles. So the mature believer, I would classify this individual as a winner. And the reason I call him a winner is because of his victory over the world and the flesh and the devil in this eon, in this age, because these are the enemies that we face, the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's amazing to me how many people constantly say, well, the devil's after me, the devil's after me, when it's not the devil at all. It just may be your old sin nature tempting you. Certainly Satan knows what your weaknesses are, but remember, and I've told you on this show before, and I'll tell it to you again, he is not omnipresent. He doesn't have the ability to be in more than one place at a time. He's local. He has a body. And so if Satan is local, if he has a body, and if he can only be in one place at one time, why would he be at your house? Are you that important? Are you that significant that the arch enemy of God would be hanging around your house? I don't think so. I think if Satan is hanging around anywhere, it's in the Middle East. Maybe it's even in Washington. Maybe he would do anything that he could to malign the president, to split our country. Maybe he would promote any sort of agenda that would cease, that would cause any sort of Christianity to cease in the public market. It sounds like what he would like to do to me. So if you're going to be a mature believer, you're going to have to get victory over the flesh, over the world, and over the devil. Now, you're not going to get 100% victory. You're not going to defeat him every time. Remember, Jesus told Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, and I prayed for you that your faith not fail you, because before the morning pops up, you're going to deny me. Now, this is a man that had been with him 3 years, and he still denied him. Is he in heaven? Sure he is. Compliments of the grace of God. Will you go to heaven if you sin? Sure you will. Compliments of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, where he was judged for your sin. So the mature believer, I would call him the invisible hero. It's because he has an impact in human history. You might not even know who he is. You may go to church with him every Sunday and not even know his name. Maybe he's not even a deacon. Maybe he's not even the pastor of the church. He may be the most insignificant, unrecognizable person in the whole congregation, but maybe, just maybe, he's the mature believer. He's the invisible hero. And it's his life that would have an impact on history. One of the ways that this impact comes forth is he stabilizes his nation. Because it's through the mature believers that our nation is preserved. We'll talk about that today or maybe next Sunday. This mature believer stabilizes a nation that's on rocky ground. This mature believer is a witness for Jesus Christ. He understands his job. And our job is to lift up Christ, to reconcile the world to God through Christ. And we do that by demonstrating a Christ-like personality called the fruit of the Spirit. And we do it by thinking like our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible calls it the mind of Christ. We learn it, assimilate it, and apply it into our life. And we tell people who and what he is and what he did. That's our job. That's why God left us here. And we epitomize Jesus Christ so that when people look at us, they see Christ. Just like Jesus epitomized the Father, and he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, hopefully, if someone has seen me or seen you, they've seen Jesus in us because of our life and our actions and our words and etc. So the mature believer, he's a winner. He's an invisible hero, and he glorifies God in his life. And this is the man that God is able to pour great blessings into his life. You know why God can bless him? Because he won't be distracted. It won't destroy him. See, a lot of people say, boy, I wish God would bless me. I wish God would let me win the lottery. Well, I'm going to go buy me a lottery ticket and hope I can win the lottery. You are wasting your time. You see, the reason you're not ever going to win the lottery is you want to win it to start with. Because you think if you win it, your problems would be solved. And you're looking at a human solution and not a divine solution. Human solutions are no solutions. Divine solutions are the only solutions. Is it a sin to buy a lottery ticket? Of course not. But is it a sin to trust in the lottery to fulfill the happiness that you're looking for? Of course it is. That's not the issue. Human solutions are no solutions. So how could God bless you by giving you something like that? It would destroy you. You think that would be the end to all of your problems, and you're wrong. So the mature believer can glorify God as God pours blessing into his life because he's not distracted by the blessing, and he's not defeated by his failures. He's not distracted by the blessings, and he's not defeated by his failures. Maybe he's gone through a divorce. Maybe he's gone through some sort of financial disaster. Maybe he's gone through something that may cause embarrassment into his life because a lot of people know about it. Does he go sit in a corner? Does he give up? Does he cry? Does he feel sorry for himself? No. He picks himself up. He maintains his spiritual momentum, and he keeps moving forward in the plan of God. He is the invisible hero. He passes the evidence testing, and he becomes a witness for Jesus Christ in the angelic conflict. Many people don't even know what evidence testing is. Our Lord faced it in Matthew 4 when Satan came to him personally and tempted him after he had fasted. The Holy Spirit led him to this place, and Satan tempted him mightily. I mean, come on, one-third of the host of the angels in heaven went for it. They believed in Satan. They worshipped him. He was able to induce that many angels to follow him. Why don't you think he thought he could get Christ to follow him? He gave it a shot. But Jesus didn't buy into the picture, did he? And so, it's very important that you understand what evidence testing is. Any believer who ever wants to be mature and glorify God to the maximum will be cross-examined by Satan sooner or later. Job faced it in his life when Satan said the only reason he loves you is you put a hedge around him. You let me take it away, he won't love you any longer. But he did. That didn't mean Job was not a man of patience. Don't misunderstand that. A lot of people do. They talk about the patience of Job. Job was not, I repeat, not a man of patience. He was a man of perseverance. He persevered. There were many times he complained. There were many times he griped. There were many times he wished he was dead. But he persevered. He didn't give up. He refused to give in to the testing that he faced and to the accusations of his friends. He knew that he had not done anything wrong. He had not forsaken his God. He didn't really know what was going on, but he finally figured it out, and God restored everything more than twofold because he persevered. And that's the only way you can ever pass evidence testing. So, true spiritual maturity represents maximum spiritual growth for the believer in time. If you ever want to be a mature believer, you're going to have to grow. G-R-O-W, simple word. I'm not going to give you the old cliche, grow, go to God in prayer, read God's word, obey God, and witness for Christ. That is not what growing means. Growing is a different deal here. It means you grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. What does that mean? 2 Timothy 2:15, you study to show yourself approved unto God. What does that mean? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. Learn of me. You cannot grow without learning. And the only way you can ever learn is to sit under someone who has the communication gift and listen to them accurately teach you the Word of God more than 30 minutes on Sunday morning. And this is why God keeps you here after salvation. God has a plan for you. That plan is for you to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thus, if you're ever going to be a mature believer, spiritual maturity is the divine objective for every believer. It's your objective. It's my objective to be a mature believer. This is the purpose of all the mandates of Scripture. Everything that's related to us in time, this is what it's for, that we might be mature believers and give maximum glorification to God during our stay in time. This is the only way that we can ever glorify God or our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ while we're still here on this earth. And this maturity is the basis for all temporal as well as eternal rewards and blessings in the future. So in eternity past, God has provided you with wonderful invisible assets so that you might be this mature believer. They are there for you. There are at least 40 things that God does for you the moment you believe in Jesus Christ. If you don't know what they are, then send me an email and I'll send you a list of them. Just simply email me at rick@bigrick.org. rick@bigrick.org. I'll send you a list of those 40 things. Include your name and address and I'll send you a book that's got them all listed in it. But there are at least 40 things God did for you the moment you believed in Jesus Christ, and they're invisible assets. And you nor I will ever reach spiritual maturity in our life if we don't know what these assets are and if we don't use them. They are the power options in our life. They are what God has given to us so that we might indeed reach spiritual maturity. But I can tell you something. Let me tell you what spiritual maturity is not, in case you get confused. Let me tell you what spiritual maturity is not. It is not super morality. It is not super morality. It is not the guy that never does anything bad. It's not the guy that says, well, I don't smoke and I don't drink and I'm a good Christian. I don't watch any movies that are not G-rated. That's not a mature believer. The guy that says, I don't do anything bad, the question I got to ask him is, well, what is bad? Because what is bad to you? What is it that you really consider bad? See, and this guy would probably major on some immorality sort of sins, but he might not think that worry is a sin. He might not understand that fear is a sin. He might not know that his very arrogance that causes him to think he's a great Christian is a sin. So, spiritual maturity is not super morality. That doesn't mean a man is mature as a believer in Jesus Christ because he doesn't do certain things. First of all, the Bible doesn't tell you don't smoke. It says don't harm your body. And the Bible doesn't tell you don't drink. It says don't get drunk with wine. What do you think about that? And yet people all the time say, well, if you're a good Christian, you can't drink or smoke. Now, I'm not telling you you need to drink or smoke. That's not what I'm telling you. But I'm telling you that's not what the Bible says. A mature believer is not a hyper-spiritual person. Now, this is one of my favorites. You're around him all the time. He's the holy boy. And his look gives him away every time. You can tell if you're in a restaurant when he comes in. He looks like it. He just looks spiritual. And he comes in, hello, brother, hello, sister, praise God, Aunt Bessie. Lord bless the pygmies in Africa, as that little comedian feller says all the time. I mean, come on. That's not what spiritual maturity is. Some vocabulary, the way you talk and sound, or the way you dress. You wear black and you wear a tie all the time. You always got a white shirt on. You got a pocket full of pencils and you got a Bible stuck in there. Well, this must be a real mature Christian. Get a life. That's not what a real mature Christian is. That has nothing to do with it. Holy appearance, holy vocabulary, super morality. This is not what a mature believer is. Maybe it's the guy that is into extreme asceticism, extreme self-denial. He does without. Oh, he's a great Christian. He only has one change of underwear. He only has one suit. He drives a little 25-year-old Volkswagen Beetle around. But he used to be a multimillionaire, and he gave all his money to the missionaries. And he's a great man of God. That's not what makes a great believer. That's not what makes a great man of God. It has nothing to do with it. And yet it goes to show you how we get really confused about this stuff. It's not the super excitement guy, Mr. Pumped Up for Jesus. I remember years ago I heard a very famous evangelist that went around giving Jesus cheers. Give me a J. Give me an E. And this was some sort of super spirituality. Get you pumped up for Jesus. Not long ago, I met a fella in Jackson, Mississippi, and I mean to tell you, this guy was pumped up for Jesus. He had heard our radio show over there on 97.3 Super Talk and called me or emailed me or something, wanted to get with me. I never heard so much birdseed in all my life. And finally, I asked him. I listened to him go on and on and on with his super spiritual, pumped up for Jesus stuff. And I said, listen, can I ask you a question? Could you, if I was a new Christian, could you tell me how to be a man of God? Tell me what would I do to be a real man of God? Tell me what are the procedures. Tell me the mechanics behind it. Don't just give me the cliches like, turn it over to Jesus, brother. Sell out for God, brother. What does that mean? And it was embarrassing to him because he had no answers. No one had ever asked him that before. Well, I gave him some answers. I don't know what he'll do with them, but he had lots of emotion, but he had no content. So maturity is not this sort of stuff. Now, granted, a mature believer may be very moral. A mature believer may even have a holy-sounding speech. That's fine. It is not a sin to talk that way. He may even look kind of Christian-like. That's fine. That doesn't mean because he talks that way and looks that way, and because he does without certain things, that he is a spiritual Christian or a mature Christian. You see, that's what turns people off sometimes. People look at that and they get the wrong idea. That doesn't mean we need to go the other way. It just means we need to understand. Here's what it is. If you want to be the spiritually mature believer, it means that you have consistent momentum in your life. What does that mean? Well, momentum comes from Luke 11:27-28, where our Lord said, happiness belongs to the people who hear my Father's word and keep it. And until you begin a consistent routine of taking in the word of God on a daily basis and applying what you take in, you'll never be a mature believer. You may be a convenient Christian. You may need a preacher to marry you and bury you and give you a pump-up sermon on Sunday so that you feel better about yourself. But you'll never be a mature believer until you consistently establish momentum in your life. That means the Word of God has to be priority number one and become more important to you than even the very food that you eat. This means you have to have a consistent routine every day that you take in the Word of God. And most churches don't teach it, do they? And so most mature believers that I know find other means. They listen to tapes by qualified pastors from different parts of the country that teach in depth. And if they're in their car 4 or 5 hours a day, they'll put one of those tapes in. Or if they get home in the evening, they'll listen to a tape. I have a friend that owns a restaurant here in the Birmingham area, and this is his daily diet, is the Word of God, even before he feeds his customers. He's that serious about it. See, this is how you renovate your mind. This is how you renovate your thinking. That's what the Bible tells us in Philippians 2:5. We have to let the same mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible tells us in Romans 12:3. We have to learn not to think in terms of arrogance, but think in terms of God's plan. This is how we become mature believers. And until you begin to do that, and there's a lot more I'm going to say about this, but we're running out of time. But until you begin to have some momentum in your life, until you begin to renovate your thinking, you're never going to be the person that God would have you to be. I thank you for letting me talk to you like this. Thank you for letting me lay it out like this. I hope I haven't insulted you or offended you, but I've tried to tell you simply what it's like. I've tried to give you the truth. And if you will keep listening next Sunday at the same time, you'll get more of this, and you'll hear as we go on this study. If you'd like to contact me, the announcer will give you the information at the end of the show. But I'm very grateful to have the privilege to come to you over this radio station and to give you this information every Sunday. So until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.